We get to enjoy a lot of good things. But the reality is also that in any given week, we're tired, we're overwhelmed, we're frustrated, we feel beat on. And sometimes we wonder what the next thing is that's coming in and from what direction. You with me? Why is that? What? Okay. All right. We're in a battle. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. We're going to get there. How does all that have to do with us and where we are and who we are? Because just because there's a battle going on doesn't mean that we have to be experiencing the things that I just described. I know we do, I know we will, but how we deal with it is a lot like me telling someone who's younger that I don't have to let the circumstance around me dictate my attitude nor my outlook. Because sometimes when somebody else is grumpy or short or angry or whatever, I don't have to let that dictate the way that I go through the rest of my day, much less how I deal with them. I don't have to. We're going to talk today about some things that none of this is new. This is stuff that you have heard us talk about over and over and over again. But it's like we need to do it again because we all feel like what I described at the beginning. And because we begin to think that that's all there is. And we begin to become reactionary as opposed to standing on a foundation that we have been offered and provided. So that's what we're going to talk about today. John, pop that up there. There's a picture I want you to look at. Look at that. Look at those two pictures. Give me a description of the difference between those two pictures. Yes. We got two hearts, Daniel. Exactly right. Now tell me about the difference between the two pictures. Can you see that clearly enough? Do I need to turn the lights out for you to see the difference between the two pictures? One's cold. Carolyn says one's cold and wounded, and the other one's on fire. You see Band-Aids on the first one. There's a pin in the first one. It looks marked up and whooped on, right? Yeah, bound up, exactly. There's also barbed wire around the bottom. If you can't see, there's barbed wire around that heart. Okay? And the reality in all this is the importance of the core of who we are. We're not talking about a physical heart here. We're talking about the spiritual core of our lives. Because that's what the Bible describes as being the center of our beings. It refers to, in a metaphorical way, our hearts. So I want to talk about hearts. Again, this is nothing that we haven't talked about before, but we need to revisit it again today, especially as we look at the contrast between those two pictures. So let's look at some passages and see what they tell us. The first passage you want to look at is Ephesians 1:18. Paul wrote, it was part of a prayer, "I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, Now, why do we need our hearts and our eyes? And when was the last time you had eyes on your heart? Got to be metaphorical because there's no eyes in your heart. So what's he saying? Everybody hear that? Perceiving out of the core of who we are, okay, is important. That which determines our worldview, and I'm going to say even our identity, is where we need to be perceiving from. What would be the opposite of that? If we're not perceiving from the core of who we are, from what our identity is, what would we be perceiving from? What would be the alternative? Okay, physical eyes, which would mean we see and experience what? What's the difference? What's the difference in perceiving with the eyes of our heart from the core of our being, our identity, or whatever this option is that's other? What's the difference? One's spiritual, one's physical. Okay, you can see further. Okay, now when you say further, David, explain further. Sorry, we got immense words here. Okay, all right. So what is beyond? Whenever we talk about beyond, I'm trying to be concrete. Okay, so that we can get into, it's not that I'm disagreeing with you. I'm just trying to get us to put, okay, see why we're seeing what we're seeing. One requires faith, the other doesn't. Okay, there's deception that's possible whenever we talk about seeing with our human eyes. Okay, we can be deceived. We can be manipulated. Okay, but if we see and perceive from the core of who we are and from our identity, then we can penetrate and see through some of that deception. Is that? Okay, see to the end, or even see the deception. Okay? Whereas here we don't see the deception. Okay. And it's important, isn't it? So the condition of our hearts really is important. Because the problem many times is that we live like we're unaware of what's really going on. We get so bombarded, we allow ourselves to be so overwhelmed, we get so caught up in the earthly, human, physical part that we don't do the deep spiritual identity, core of our being, perception stuff. Right? I mean, after you're told you got to pay $10,000 in taxes, you know, you got a child that gets sick and your car breaks down, after all those things happen, you start to feel like somebody's got their foot popping on the backside all over the place. Right? Now, you can fill in your three things that fit your personal experience, you know, in the last week. But it's the same thing. And so what happens is what happens to our hearts when we get overwhelmed? And we just can't, we don't want just one more thing. Just one more thing. Overburdened. How do we deal with that? It'd be nice if we cried. Okay, sometimes we shut down. Withdraw. Okay. Self-medicate. Okay. Because we don't want to deal with it. We were made for better than that. And this is something that I just feel like I'm supposed to launch out on in the future, so I'll go ahead and give you the commercial. We're going to talk about who we're supposed to be. And we're going to talk about greatness, and we're going to talk about perfection, and we're going to talk about holiness, and we're going to talk about some things in the future when it comes to a congregation, when it comes to our own lives. Because it ain't time to settle. People, there's too much at stake. too many people, our lives, it's time for greatness. So where we are is that we've got to start living like we are aware of what's really going on instead of living like we're unaware of what's really going on. We can't ignore, withdraw, self-medicate, and all that, and be the people that God wants us to be, because the reality is life is overwhelming. It can be hard. It can be harsh. And our hearts are what's going to get us through it, not all the things that we do to avoid it. Yes. Exactly. Yes. All right. So that's the direction we're going. Next slide, John. 2 Corinthians 4:18 in the New Century. We're jumping around versions today for fun. Says, we set our eyes not on what we see, but on what we cannot see, which is what David was trying to explain earlier. And we do so in language that is not really, again, this is one of those times where the language we use is not good enough to describe what we mean. It falls short. But the truth is that life is not what it seems. So here's the question. How can we set our eyes, the eyes of our heart, where the center of our spirit, the definer of our identity, how can we see what we cannot see? Because we're saying we're supposed to do it. How do we do it? Is it just reading the words? I believe, far too easily discount what it means to meditate on Scripture. It's not enough to memorize it. It's not enough to repeat it. It's not enough to read it. It's a matter of, in that process of letting that message in that word challenge us, and we have the dialogue in our spirits with God. And we say, okay, this is what this means. Now, God, show me what is it, number one, that needs to be different. And then number two, how am I going to let that change happen? Because this word I know is the standard. It's the truth. It's not a law. It's something you want to be living in me. And that's different. Now, when we start applying that to me being a better dad or a better husband or a better pastor or a better professor or whatever, what is it that I'm not doing as well as I'd like to do? Because my goal is to be like Jesus, which is greatness. If I'm going to see what I cannot see, and life isn't the way it seems in the human realm, and I've got to have this perspective, then my heart has got to be shaped differently. And I believe the only way that happens is by something that is miraculous that happens when we engage the Word and we let it change us. Because truthfully, if we're meditating on the Word, in the Word, it's more than just us going, yeah, 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 yeah. A lot of times it's no, 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 no. Because we're not there yet, if we're honest. And I think that's part of what that whole process of meditating on the Word is about. It's about that struggle between who we are and who God has created us to be, and becoming more like what He has said, and knowing that we are weak and we are failing in many ways, but that is not who He made us to be, and that He's going to allow us and empower us to be who He wants us to be, if we will simply realize that what is there, what is revealed, what the revelation that's there is His Word to us. And it's the best way. Life is not as it seems. if we're looking through human eyes. And way too many times, that's where our hearts are. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Terry opened us up with a response talking about the war. There is the battle going on. So Ephesians 6 reminds us that we're supposed to put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies and the tricks of the devil. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. See, there are things that we are not going to see with our fleshly eyes, that we are only going to perceive through that spiritual core based on the identity of who God has made us to be. The authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. So there's all kinds, and today I am not going to try to parse through all of those, just to say, God said they're there. He spoke it to us through what Paul said. These things exist and are at war against the kingdom that we represent, that we're a part of, so therefore against us and our hearts. So, Ephesians 5, going earlier a chapter. In the message it says, rip the cover off those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Wake up from your sleep, climb out of your coffins, Christ will show you the light. So watch your step, use your head, make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Now he said that before he defined all the stuff we just talked about in the last passage. So with this war going on, let me ask you a question. Let's go to a cultural analogy. Who are the villains that are depicted in the stories that are a part of our culture? We'll just say, okay, the movies, because we're picture people. We're moving picture people. We're YouTube people, okay? So who are the villains that represent, oh, we'll just say, evil, who have become part of our culture in the stories that are embedded in the culture now? Yeah, well, who are some of them? Anybody dressed in black? Not Johnny Cash, no. Okay.
Are you talking about Man in Black?
Movies, tell me. Who are some of those evil villains? The Joker, okay. All right, that's a good one. Okay. In all those Batman movies that they keep remaking, all right. Darth Maul, Darth Vader, okay. Say that again, Daniel.
Man in Black.
Man in Black. Men in Black. No, they're good guys. All right. Others. Other bad characters. Bad guys. Okay, terrorists. How do they capture the essence of evil? They go after the good guy. Think about any one of them. How do they capture the essence of evil? Socially unacceptable behaviors. The evil laugh. Okay, those are physical characteristics. Give me some of those behaviors. What are things that make them embody evil? No conscience. Relish in horrid things. Oh, yes. The desire to corrupt that which is pure or holy or good. Okay? Want to take over. Okay? All right? Well, there is. Reckless abandon in order of, I think they're very calculated in the way that they're presented, but yeah, there is, they don't care who they hurt. Yes. And any kind of life has very low value. Okay? So, if we look at it, they're we've talked a little bit about how they are presented as being opposed to good. Okay? And that is sort of embodying of the war, in a sense. The culture's actually acknowledging in some way that there is this war that is going on all around us. So, we've talked a little bit about this. Then what is the evidence that we are in a war? What's the evidence that you're in a war this week? Being shot at? Okay, wounded? Okay. Were you attacked this week some way? Were you maligned some way this week? Was your character or your goodness challenged this week? Was your desire to be holy challenged this week? Was your willingness to be a servant belittled this week? Was good called evil and evil called good? No, we just happen to walk in the same places. All of this stuff is evidence of the war, which comes back to the fact that we've got to have our hearts in sync with God's heart. And that's why that spending time with God, letting the Spirit help that word be digested and diffused into our spiritual core. It's not enough to know it. It's a matter of letting God discipline us as we allow it to become a part of who we are. It is a hard thing to say, but in the areas of my life that I'm not what I need to be, I need God to discipline me. And I'm hoping and praying that I get it. Because if I don't, and if I refuse it, then I'm not going to be great. I'm not going to be who God wants me to be. Okay? I don't know that this is what you're talking about, what you're trying to get to, but this is what I'm going to address. Okay? We respond a lot of different ways to what we see coming at us or what we see in our own failures. Okay? One of the ways that we respond is by condemning ourselves. One of the ways that we deal with it is by ignoring it, which makes our hearts calloused and can lead to anything from withdrawal to depression to self-medication. Those are responses to what God shows us. So what we need to do is the hardest thing in the world, and that is to have a heart of flesh. And sometimes when we get disciplined as the children of God, it hurts. And instead of desiring something to cover over the hurt, we've got to choose God. Sometimes it means choosing the pain, but walking through it and letting God teach us and lead us and doing the right thing, which is sometimes the hardest thing in the world to do. But when we do, God begins to work. Well, it is exposed, and the reality is we're choosing not to see that God sees our secret sins. We are choosing to act like He doesn't see it and like it doesn't matter. And we are all in the same boat, every one of us. The war is going after our hearts. Are we going to have hearts of flesh, or are we going to have hard hearts? All right, let's go to Genesis Back to the beginning. In the beginning, God was a baseball fan. Genesis 1, 27, 28. So, God created people in His own image, and God patterned them after Himself. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and told them, multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Be masters over the fish and the birds and all the animals. From this, we see that we have a central role to play in this story that God is unfolding. It is kind of funny that yesterday I had a conversation while watching a baseball game about the people who, and I'm trying to be careful about how I say this because I'm not trying to belittle anybody's deeply held views about this, about the environment. There are people who are so active about the environment that we need to be taken care of because we're the stewards, folks. We are. Okay, I get that. I understand that. I will take responsibility for that. But the people that think the problem with the earth is people, they would be happy if we were all dead and the world could just go keep spinning on. They think that the world would be better. And their beliefs go to that end. We need to end the rule of human beings on the face of the planet. Well, sorry, here we go. We're central. That is a not God view that we need to get rid of people so the earth can be just fine. Yeah. Well, that's what you think. He said it worked well for the dinosaurs. And I'm just saying, you know, there are places in Texas where they got footprints, people's footprints in those dinosaur footprints. So I'm just a little more careful about how I go about everything and how I understand stuff. Because I don't understand stuff because I wasn't there. But I do know this, that we have a central role to play. God put us here. He gave us stewardship. We're the ones who got the brains that function this way. So, if we're critical and we've got this central role to play, the good news is this. How many unqualified and untrained little guys did God use in the Bible? Now, y'all laugh. I was watching The Matrix yesterday, or is it not yesterday, day before yesterday, a little bit, or Thursday. I can't remember what day that was. It wasn't Wednesday. It wasn't Friday because I was teaching. So it must have been Thursday. I happened to catch in the evening, you know, they had all three Matrix movies, and I didn't see the first two, but I got to see the last one again. And I'm always watching this stuff to see if I get something that I didn't get before, even though I know the storyline. Regina looks at me and goes, "You're watching that again? Didn't we just watch that 3 months ago?" It's like, well, probably so. There's a scene where the guy is in this big, ugly, armored thing, and he's trying to shoot all the bad machines, okay? Yeah. Anyway, and then he finally gets overcome by the machines, and he's about to die. And there's this 16-year-old kid that was kind of his assistant that loaded his machine suit that he was shooting with, and the kid's climbing it, and the guy's going to die. And the kid, you know, he climbs up, and you know, he talks to the guy that kind of was in charge of him, and he goes, you know, what are we going to do? And the old guy's all cut up, and he's dying, and he says, you have to go open that door. You have to make sure that door gets open. And the kid goes, I didn't even finish the training program. And the guy who's the old guy who's, you know, the experienced guy goes, I didn't either. And he dies. Then the kid goes, does what he's supposed to. Okay? And that is real. It's a story, but it's real. Nobody has finished the training program. Nobody is qualified unless we're rejecting the Holy Spirit. That will unqualify you. But if you're seeking God, you and I are the ones who can make a difference. And we always think we're just too little. But again, if you look in the Bible, it's always the people that never would have thought that are the ones that God chooses. You know? Yeah. Exactly. Who's the guy in Judges who's down in the middle of a little holla where they work on grain down there? Gideon. He's down there, and the angel shows up and says, "Oh, hello, valiant warrior." He's going, "What? I'm just trying to get a little something to eat. I'm down here trying to work this grain so I can have something to eat where no one will see me, and you're calling me, oh, valiant warrior." That's a lot like the way God works things. I mean, even Moses, think about this. He's on the side of a mountain taking care of a bunch of smelly goats. And God shows up to him, and he's going, huh? Who? What? We have a central role to play. The unqualified, the untrained, that's us. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, because it's the wellspring of life. And the fact is, our hearts are the heart of the matter. And the war, though it may be doing a lot of things, it's a war over hearts. Over the core of who we are, the spiritual center, and our identity. If the evil one can distract us, can hurt us, and we start to function out of the pain and the hurt instead of out of our dependence on the power of God, he begins to get a stronghold in our lives. Because we start to react to the pain and to try to avoid the difficulty, the challenge, the fighting, instead of engaging and being the warriors that he made us to be. We're going to talk more about this next Sunday, because I've got more slides and we're not done yet. So we'll do like we always do. We'll pick up there. Anybody have anything you need to share? Anything that you like God's stirring up? Now, the truth is, unless any of us, every one of us has to adopt an attitude that says, we're going to let God show us what we need to see. Nothing changes until we're willing to repent. Okay? When we're willing to repent and get away from it, that's when good stuff starts happening. Although it feels like the worst thing that could possibly happen. That's right. We don't see the bondage that we're in. And freedom comes with the willingness for things to be transparent. All right, we're going to pick up next Sunday. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us so much, for showing us that we are valuable to you by sending your Son to die on the cross for us, so that what we're going to talk about next week, our hearts would be new. And our hearts would be changed. And we can have hearts that are sensitive, that are vulnerable, and open to you. Lord, I pray that you'll keep speaking to us about this week. And that, Lord, you'll fill our hearts so that we have much to share with one another as we come back next Sunday. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.